And now here are some of the letters received at the Evening News during the past week. We'll start with one from Mike Howman from Norwich, who has a suggestion of how to deal with the boy racers we've just been hearing about. Interesting to read that public spaces protection orders are to be implemented to attempt to curb the boy racers currently annoying city residents. I see that the penalty will be in the form of a monetary penalty. Might I suggest that a better deterrent would be to impound their vehicle for, say, a month, in the same way that unroadworthy vehicles on the highway are seized already by the police, to be deprived of their pride and joy for a period of time would surely make them think twice about creating a nuisance.
Sam Leftwich, the engagement officer for Sight Loss Councils, has written, "We're a local group of blind and partially sighted people known as Sight Loss Councils, calling for a halt on the proposed mass closures of rail ticket offices, which would have a devastating impact on our community. Without ticket offices, blind and partially sighted people will have to purchase tickets through online booking or through ticket vending machines at stations. But existing alternatives, such as ticket machines and many online booking apps, are inaccessible to our community. Ticket office staff are also often our first point of contact at stations. They provide assistance, information, advice, and not just tickets. For blind and partially sighted people, this support is vital. Roaming staff are not an acceptable alternative, especially if you cannot see them. There is much more that needs to be done, first, to increase accessibility. Poor station design, failing audio announcements, outdated wayfinding, inaccessible technology, inconsistent tactile navigation and Victorian platforms already make navigating rail travel a challenge for blind and partially sighted people. Ticket office closures will simply add an extra barrier, and this must stop now. Help us challenge these closures now at www.sightlosscouncils.org.uk/news/countdown-to-closures.
David Wright laments on the taxpayer having to pick up the A47 appeal bill delay costs. I read with lots of misgivings your report that one person is to appeal against the judge's ruling that improving the A47 in three places is perfectly legal and can go ahead. I further read that his legal fees are being met by crowdfunding, which really surprises me, as how can so many people be led up the garden path by someone who has ideals completely contrary to what the vast majority think, who are desperate to see the work on the A47 start right now? I fully support the right of anyone to have their own views, as I have my own, of course. However, assuming it is likely the challenger will lose his appeal, should he also be liable for the increased costs caused by the delay in starting work? Presumably, he is quite happy for the taxpayer, i.e. us, to pick up what must be a minimum of a £10 million increase in the cost caused solely by him. It's a pity the judge cannot order him to be liable for every penny. It would give his crowdfunding mates a large headache.
Colin Burley is embracing new technology with his smartphone. I have, for many years, deplored the use of smartphones. They're slowly killing the art of conversation. These phones seem to be an integral part of the setup on dining tables in restaurants, never more than a few inches away from the knives and forks. They're in use at times on the entire bus journey from Dereham to Norwich, with the occasional toddler playing with one in their buggy. I have, however, recently had a slight change of mind. In 2020, I was due to pay my last trip, along with my wife, daughter and son-in-law, back to the city of Hamburg, a place I learned to love during my time being stationed close by during National Service, and having returned there with my RAF pals 6 or 7 times. This week, however, my daughter and son-in-law flew out to Hamburg and with the aid of their smartphones were able to make video calls to my wife's phone. It was such a thrill to see them at my favourite places, the Rathaus, St Michael's Church, the beautiful Planten und Blumen Gardens, and taking cruises on the Alsters and round the harbour, and for me to feel through the wonders of modern technology. Vive la technology and vive le smartphone.
Nick Landon from Royal Mail reminds us to use up our old postage stamps. Many of your readers will have seen that postage stamps are changing. From August the 1st, the everyday stamps showing the late Queen's head on a plain-coloured background will only be valid if they have a unique barcode on the right-hand side. From that date, using the old non-barcoded stamps will result in a surcharge for the person you send the item to. I encourage people to use up any stamps they have in wallets or purses before July the 31st. Customers who cannot use any non-barcoded stamps before the 31st of July will still be able to swap them for new barcoded stamps through Royal Mail's simple and free swap-out scheme. Nobody should be out of pocket as a result of this change. A leaflet with a form was delivered to every household recently. But customers can also print out a form from our website. Call our customer experience team to order one, or pick one up at a local Royal Mail delivery office or post office. Non-barcoded Christmas and other special stamps with pictures on continue to be valid for postage and should not be swapped. For more information, visit www.royalmail.com/sending/barcoded stamps.
Finally, Glyn Linder reminds us of how fit tennis players need to be. Nobody who tuned in to watch the Wimbledon men's tennis final between Carlos Alcaraz and Novak Djokovic could have failed to be captivated by one of the best finals ever seen. But one statistic of this tournament, which I found interesting, was the number of games that they had to play during the Wimbledon fortnight. Between them, they played 407 games during the 2 weeks, up to and including the semi-final, and then played a further 46 games in the final, in a match which took nearly 5 hours. With the impending football season almost upon us, I do not want to hear the tiresome old chestnut, regularly wheeled out by both players and managers, that they are tired after playing 2 games in 4 days.